all way at Francisco. Of course, they have many Bible studies and things here. There's another church in this area, not very far from Francisco's, that actually has over 100 members in it. So lots of Christians in this area. Again, a lot of that relating to Francisco's work. So this is the first Monday we were there. I preached to a pretty good crowd that evening. We only had time for one sermon. They'd assembled in this hall garage. And I preached this lesson from the summer series that I preached actually two Sunday nights here. And David Rafe translated for me. Here's another picture of the crowd as it gathered and sort of filled in the back. It was literally standing room only. These booklets were received. We gave out one per family. People were begging for more. That happened everywhere we went. We'd preach at least one lesson out of the booklet, and people would get those in their hands, and they'd say, can we have another one? We want to start a Bible study with some of our ladies here. We want to use this over here. I want to share this with some preachers, whatever it was. And they were begging for more of these booklets, far more than we could have carried down with us. But those were put to very good use as well. A number of brethren visited here from another place down the road called Sumpongo, where Francisco used to preach. And to help you understand your relationship to this work and why people from Sumpongo, which is, again, a little ways down the road, would come to be a part of this assembly that night and be with Francisco and hear me preach the gospel. After the meeting was over, we were going through an album of pictures in Francisco's place. And here's a car parked in the same place the next morning. Well, we're going through an album of pictures, and here's something we ran across. These were children here at Eastside who had corresponded with the children in Sumpongo several years ago. You'll be able to recognize, I see Gracie and Aaron and Douglas and two or three others there, I think, that I recognize when they were pretty small children. They'd kept this picture all of these years as a memorial, a memory of contact from people at Eastside. And they kept another picture, too, of the Eastside elders when they all had hair a long time ago. And you can see the eldership there. It's a cherished memory, a cherished photo that Francisco and Yolanda are keeping. I want you to see what you've meant to these people. Well, we have to go on, and we had to go on. We slept the night there, the three of us in one room, good accommodations for Guatemala. And we moved on the next day. We had to get a flat fixed on the way. A tire was leaking, and so we stopped to get a flat fixed. You could get your tire fixed, and right next there you could buy a carnita, some meat or something, whatever you wanted. I think the kid that changed the tire, how old was he, Will? 8, 9 years old? Just a little kid. Changed the tire and got that fixed for us. So this is a typical street scene in crowded areas around the city there. So we were on our way down to the next city, which is Palin, where Hosea Maria Koch preaches. This is Geronimo's brother. This is where Jose Maria and his family live. It's also a hair salon where his daughter cuts hair, and it's also the meeting place of the church. So it's a triple play, and this is the outside of the place. You see the tin roof and the brick wall, and the tin roof doesn't actually sit on top of the wall. There's open air there. Everything is pretty much open to the air all the way through Guatemala, especially before you get up in the mountains. Here is one of the meetings. We actually had a meeting in the afternoon, another meeting in the evening. We preached several times there that day. And had a lot of enthusiasm and interest in all of the meetings there. Here I am preaching in one session on the left, Jared, again, David Rafe doing the translating there next to Jared on the right. We we're really privileged to get to meet this family. This is Jose Maria and his wife Irma, the remaining children in the house. Jose Maria has two or three older children that are away and married as well. So it was a big family. They basically have one sleeping room, has three beds in it. They gave that to us to sleep in. And they slept on the concrete floor outside of the hair salon. So this was on a very busy street, incredibly busy street, traffic all day and all night, big trucks. There's a bus stop in the front of their house, noise all of the time. But it's where they live, and they're just wonderful, wonderful people. That's a picture of a sink. This is the kind of sink we saw in every home we were in. They're almost identical. I think they must be made out of concrete. What you see on the right is sort of a big container of water, and when they have water available, they fill that up with water, and then they use these little pans to dip water out of over into the sink on the left to do the washing and whatnot. There's a drain in that part. And this is where you wash your dishes. The water is not safe to drink. It's not safe probably for them to drink. It's not safe to drink, but they wash in it. They wash their dishes in it. And this arrangement we saw in every home that we were in. Now, there were a couple of homes that also had some nice porcelain sinks in them in a place or two, but they also would have a sink like this that they would do their washing in. There are not many of us who would allow our families to live in these conditions. But they happily live in these conditions all of the time. The next day we had to be up. We toured the town just a little bit. There was a bit of a festival going on. We went through the square, and then we hit the road going down to the little town of Rio Bravo, which is a town of about 7,000 people, down toward the coast of Guatemala. The weather got warmer as we went. What you're looking at there is a picture of sugarcane fields, some mountains in the distance, and if you look at the far, far distance, you might be able to see a cloud-shrouded volcano, Vulcan Agua, I think, in the far, far distance there. There's a ridge of volcanoes that goes through this section of Guatemala, several of them. You can see them miles and miles and miles away. They're over 1,200 feet high, all of them, over 1,200 feet high. I think the highest is 12,000 feet high, 12,000 feet high, and I think the tallest is 13,000 feet high. So huge volcanoes, a couple of them are active, some of them, most of them are not, but that's just part of the scenery of Guatemala. They can grow almost anything. There's sugarcane, there's bananas, there's pineapples, there's all sorts of fruit, mandarins and everything else that you can possibly imagine can be grown here. Corn all over the place, things being grown up and down the mountainsides, just an incredible place for agriculture. But this was a lot of the scenery as we went down the road toward Rio Bravo, where we were to meet the youngest of the preachers that we were going to be with. And this is Jose Humberto. And so we met up with him, and he came on his motorcycle, met us at a given place, and then led us on to his home. Jared decided he'd get on the back of the motorcycle, and he and Jose would lead the way to Jose's house. So this is the narrow way to Jose's. Really narrow way to Jose's. With extreme dips and bumps and things in the road. So much so that more than once, as Will will tell you, the fat gringo, that's me, had to get out so that the vehicle could make it over the bump. Will always noticed that the scraping was on my side. I don't know why he was able to notice that. But anyway, after some time and several bumps, we came to the house of Jose Humberto, and here is his beautiful family. Wife and two children, and the wife is pregnant. We support Jose, but not nearly enough. The other men that we support, we've been supporting many, many years. Jose's a younger man. We've only been giving him $150 a month. That's not enough to make it in Guatemala. A single brother in Christ has been also giving Jose another $150 a month. That's $300 a month. That's not enough to make it in Guatemala either. And that single brother is having to withdraw his support as of now for Jose. So Jose is trying to support this family. He has some carpenter skills, but not enough carpenter work to be able to make money to support his family. These were by far the most humble circumstances that we encountered as far as a place that we stayed while we were there. Here's a picture of his home. That's all there is to it. We slept again in their beds and were privileged to share a meal with them that they provided. We took off that evening to preach there in Rio Bravo, where Jose preaches, and he also works in some of the congregations around there. So we drove back out. We decided not to get the vehicle out. We barely got it in, so we decided not to get the vehicle out. So we called a couple of little taxis. They have these three-wheel taxis called tuk-tuks, and they're just sort of narrow. Used to be like mail trucks in the United States, and it was little three-wheel sort of mail trucks. That's what kind of what they remind me of. And here's Will. Will was very taken with the tuk-tuks. But we all crammed into about two tuk-tuks and made it the distance after some little while out of Jose's neighborhood and to the meeting place of the church that evening. They do have a little building there. There were a number coming from surrounding areas. It was hot, so there was not any sense in trying to cram everybody into that building on a hot afternoon. So we met in a courtyard adjacent to the building, and also some of the members live in this same little compound. So here we are meeting in the courtyard in Rio Bravo. We again preached at least one lesson out of the booklet and some other lessons as well. There's a young man by the name of Henry Garcia. He's the only other translator that we were able to use, really the only other person that was fully bilingual, I think, that we met. There might have been one or two others, young ladies that were somewhat bilingual. But Henry lived in the United States for about 6 years, I believe, up in the Northeast. He was here illegally. When he became a Christian, he went back home, which was the right thing to do. He has really good translating ability and a good knowledge of the scripture, so he's very, very valuable. Was able to give David a rest from translating. I think he's somebody that we need to keep in contact with and use on succeeding trips and in other ways, maybe to translate materials and things like that. He's a fine young man. Was with us all of the days on our travels as well. So Jared used Henry as a translator quite a bit. That evening, Jared and Will made a lot of friends. I got into a discussion with some of the older men about a Bible question and was sequestered with them for a while. And then Jared and Will joined us in that a little bit later. Some Bible study that went pretty late into the evening that evening. The next morning, this is the view from outside Jose's home. You see two volcanoes in the distance, banana trees in the foreground there. Just a lot of the beauty of Guatemala that was all around us. God's creation is wonderful everywhere, and we were taken with it in all that we saw in Guatemala. But it was immediately from here on to the next town of Chiquitao. And here is the preacher that we support there. His name is Ricardo Ventura. He's Francisco's brother. Like Francisco, he's been a stalwart in the church, establishing works, being a solid preacher, bringing many to Christ and solidifying the works there. You see his fairly large family intermixed with the gringos there, and just very beautiful people. Ricardo has a relatively nice home there in Chiquiao. And this was New Year's Eve that we arrived there, so there was a lot going on in the city that evening. But still, the brethren wanted to meet, and we did so. Here's their meeting place, which is fairly new. Again, a lot of this due to the efforts of Ricardo and the brethren there. They've been able to build this place within the last 5 years, and it's a really nice facility for you might have been wondering about how anybody down there had a microphone. This is the place where the song leader had the microphone. So it's a nice facility for Guatemala. And we had a good number there, mainly from the church at Chiquiao. There were some people from elsewhere as well. I want to back up just for a minute and notice the young man in the upper left standing next to Jared. That is Ricardo's oldest son, Juan Manuel, who also is beginning to preach the gospel. He preaches in a town of San Marcos, some distance from here. He doesn't have any support. He has some health problems, but he's a very capable preacher, I believe, and he's seeking support to preach the gospel. The name of the church there in San Marcos is Mosquito, the Mosquito Church, so that's easy to remember. But Ricardo's a good fellow. But here we are, Jared getting ready to preach that evening in Chiquiao, and of course he does so, and here is the group of saints that meets there, most of these members of the congregation in Chiquiao. Here's Jared preaching, Henry translating. There's a little inset there, and in that little inset is another picture of the elders at Eastside. This little armoire, whatever you call it, was right up in front of the auditorium, and what it did was it held the songbooks and Bibles and things to keep them secure and out of the dampness and whatnot. So it was their book rack, basically, and people would go open it and, you know, grab a songbook or whatever. And every time they did so, they'd see a picture of the elders at Eastside. It was a much more modern picture than the other one. I showed you a different picture. But again, here is the feeling about the group at Eastside that these brethren have. You know, the photo of the elders is in front of the congregation. They see it every time they open the door to get a songbook. That's what you mean to them. Jared mentioned that I was going to show. This is not the same picture you showed, Jared. You showed day two. I'm showing day three. I'd like to explain to you what happened. Ricardo told us a very moving story that not long ago, one of the teachers of our children's classes here, sent down to them a box of crayons, some other teaching material, I think a beginner's Bible in Spanish. And they took that box of crayons and had a study for young children in their home for weeks. I think it lasted possibly 3 months. They had up to 25 children attend that study. They taught them about the days of creation. Many of the children were from the community, not children of Christians, learning about God and the days of creation, coloring the days of creation, because one of our teachers sent a box of crayons. This is Dogney's family. We met Dogney the next morning, actually. His wife has some serious health issues. Having Jared along, for those who don't know, Jared is a nurse practitioner. Having him along on a number of cases, in a number of instances, to help people with their health problems was invaluable. Not only did he do a great job teaching, but his medical skills and interest in their physical well-being was very well received. He examined this lady and was able to give her some advice about her condition. I think he's consulting now with several of them and doctors up here to see about getting various ones their needs. And I could tell you a lot about Dogney, but I'll just move on. We have here's another picture from Chickacow near Ricardo's home, a volcano in the distance and some beautiful flowers. This is the drive up now into the mountains. We're heading sort of from the lowlands up into the mountainous regions to Xela, Quetzaltenango, up in the mountains, where we'll be with two congregations then for the last 3 days of our stay in Guatemala. This is the Xela Urbina area where we stayed for those 3 days. It doesn't really give you a very good idea of what's going on there, but this is the general area that we were in. We're up in the mountains, blue, blue skies, mountains and hills and volcanoes around us there. And for the most part, fairly humble houses. This is Will preaching that night at a congregation, and I still can't say this. It's P-A-C-H-A-J. I think it's Paca or something like that, Paca, whatever. I'm not very good in Spanish. But two of Geronimo's sons kind of hold this group together. It's not far from the other group where we were. These are just a few miles apart, but far enough apart that people can't walk easily between the two. So this church was started over in that area. Will's preaching, first sermon he ever preached on the power of God. Excellent lesson. Was very well received. And appreciate Will being with us and the work that he did, his interest in the brethren there, his interest in being an example of what a Christian ought to be and sharing the gospel with others. I thought it was very powerful. And here they are listening to Will's sermon that night. Earlier in the day, we preached here all afternoon and into the evening. As Jared mentioned, Jared's giving aid to this lady. She had a stent in her bile duct that had become clogged, and the great pain that caused her to pass out, and Jared's attending to her there. Jared tried to get her some medicine and whatnot for pain, and consulted with her again the next day. She's got some serious, serious health problems. Here's the church actually in Urbina, where we would then spend the next 2 days preaching and in fellowship with these saints. This is where Geronimo really is located. In fact, his house is behind this building. Here is sort of the street in front of the building. The building itself is down next to the turquoise building in the middle of the picture. You see a cow. You see a guy walking. That's sort of how the neighborhood was. Here's Jared and Henry and Urbina. Again, Jared doing good work, preaching, and Henry doing a good job translating some of the saints in Urbina. Here's how it looked on Sunday. Again, that's a fairly large building, one of the larger ones we were in, and a pretty good crowd. Sunday night, we met in the home of, Andres, and learned about a medical problem of his 8-year-old daughter, and I'll talk about that in a minute. We began to get sick. I think Will had got sick on Saturday, and I was coming down with something on Sunday. We're very, very thankful that the Lord blessed us for all of that to hold off until we finished our work. We were blessed to be able to do all the work we intended to do without sickness interfering at all, and so, so thankful for that. God blessed us in so many ways. Everybody gets sick. You don't mind getting sick. You just hate it if it interferes with the work of God. And God blessed us with that. Talk just a minute about, as I said, we were given some funds from individuals to help with benevolent work. Just a real quick recap of things we did with that. Between Jared and Will and myself and the funds that were given to us. 400 quetzales, and it takes 7 quetzales more or less to make a dollar. So if that You can figure that up. 500 quetzales is not that much money, really, in dollars. It's not even $100 quite. But to an elderly brother in Rio Bravo who was unable to eat solid food due to hernia, so for his nutritional drinks, we supplied him with that. 610 quetzals to Renee in Rio Bravo, who's the mother of Jose Humberto, for outstanding bills that they had. They were really having a rough time. 1,000 quetzals to Renee, a brother in Catarina. He's paralyzed by a misplaced injection in his spine. We provided him with medical and living expenses. 600 quetzals to Esperanza for medical tests and procedures. 600 to Andrea in Urbina. This is the 8-year-old in need of further medical tests. Her, Jared could tell you the exacts. He looked at the x-rays, but her leg doesn't go into her hip socket like it's supposed to. She was born that way. She has some issues with that. And so she needs more x-rays and medical testing and see what can be done with that. And then we gave 300 quetzals to Jose Humberto because of his meager support that he's getting in the situation with his family. Again, that only amounts to maybe $400, if that much, to help him out over the short term. It's a privilege to take the trip. I want to thank the congregation here for sending us. I want to express appreciation to my fellow workers. Jared is a fine student of the Bible. He's an able communicator of God's Word. He's filled with love and compassion for God's people that came out all through the trip. His medical skills, as I mentioned, were a help every day, and I appreciate him being a fellow worker. Will was with us every step of the way, offered help numerous times, carried the books, passed out the books, preached sermons, was an encouragement to brethren, cared about what was happening in the lives of these brethren. And again, so thankful to have him along. Anytime you take a trip like this, it's a life-changing experience. You have to almost take it to understand how much it changes you to experience it. But I hope you've gotten a flavor of it tonight. Our fellowship with these brethren in the gospel is a privilege, brethren. I hope you feel that. God has blessed us so richly to be able to share in the gospel with these people. It's not just true of the folks in Guatemala. It's not just true of the folks in Zimbabwe. It's true of everybody that we have fellowship with. But we are blessed to be able to have fellowship with these people. They would love to have closer association with us, to feel that we are truly sharing in the gospel with them. The one, if you could call a complaint, it really wasn't, but the one thing that they said they wanted everywhere we went, let us hear from the saints at Eastside. Let us know about you. Communicate with us about, anything regarding the gospel. Respond to our reports. Just send us we got your report and we're praying for you sort of thing. I think that's been lacking. And a reason for that is the language barrier. None of them literally speak English. None of us, except maybe Oscar and a couple of others, speak any Spanish. And communication is difficult. But to the very best of our ability, let's pray for them. Let's find ways to communicate our love and support as often as possible. And let's thank God that he has blessed us as he has to have fellowship in the gospel of Christ with folks like these. Thank you for your good attention. I'm sorry I did take the whole 45 minutes, I guess. Tonight, we obviously haven't talked about what to do to be a Christian. If you know what to do and you're ready to respond to the gospel invitation is open. If you're a Christian who needs to confess a fault, now's the time to do that. If it's something that's been done publicly or you need to confess publicly. God's grace, we take it everywhere. The gospel is for all. It's for folks in Guatemala, His grace is, and it's for you right here tonight. And if you need to avail yourself of it, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.